Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so.
We're going to sing one more song before the lesson. If you would please be standing, I take it by the announcement that Linda Lashley is not in the house today. Somebody needs to tell her we sang this song for her. So everybody should know this, but I know we have to have a cheat. I have to look every now and then. But what I want you to do, I want this side of the congregation to kind of turn this way. You can still see that. You can still see that screen, but sing this direction. I want this side of the congregation to sing this direction. Y'all aren't moving. Turn. There we go. We're going to sing to one another.
Thank you. Folks, I knew at one time that my age would catch up with me. But I sure didn't know that my body would rebel as much as it has. And then be called on to speak to church today has been a real blessing as I study, prepare for this lesson. And I do appreciate the elders allowing me this opportunity. I can understand why that you men wear neckties. And ever since I put this thing on this morning, I felt like I've been tied up to a post. And that's the reason I'm kind of standing still right now. But I'm going to move just a little bit here and get my stool over here because I can't stand very long at a time. And you'll just have to forgive me of that. Someday you too will experience things that the more senior people go through. Today I want to talk to you for a little while about something that I'm reasonably sure that most of us have experienced at one time or the other in our lives. And that is being very deeply in thought, perhaps in prayer, perhaps in meditation, and just about the point of where you really reach where you think that you need to be at that time before God, something will occur to distract you. Now, I can tell by the grins on your face that a lot of you have experienced that very thing. I don't like it a bit when it happens to me. And I'm sure that many of you don't like it either. But you know, this is the exact situation that Joshua finds himself in these verses that were read just a few minutes ago. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. To kind of set the stage for this event in Joshua's life, Moses had died on the mountain after God showing him the land of Canaan. Look over here from this point all the way up north to this point. And I can almost hear Moses saying, I could have led the people in to take that land. But then God reminds him, because of sin, this is as far as you go. And my man Joshua will lead those folks into the land of Canaan. Now Joshua had become the leader of God's people and he had experienced the suspension of circumcision. He had experienced the withdrawal of the Passover feast and had this experience continued for almost 40 years in the wilderness, because both those events were withdrawn by the Lord as the people sinned and Moses sinned and they followed after him. And this was at a time now in Joshua's life where he has been instructed to perform the second mass circumcision. And he was instructed to reinstitute the Passover, because the people of Israel that were now ready to go over into the land of Canaan, and in fact do go on into the land of Canaan, had all died off, and this new generation were no longer guilty of the sins of their forefathers. And God wanted his people prepared, identified, clean, ready to worship him with heart and spirit as they went into the land of Canaan. Now Joshua, being deep in prayer and meditation, perhaps viewing the task that lay ahead of him, and that is leading God's people into taking this land. And he said, I need to look this over. I need to look this over very, very carefully and develop a plan. And so he was deep in prayer, meditation. And then something caused him to look up. And there he saw this man standing before him. And as you see on the screen, this is where a Joshua meets the Joshua. And that's not just a catchy phrase, but both of these words come from the same stem root. So Joshua the man meets Joshua, the commander of God's army. He sees this man standing there with a drawn sword. And those of us who have any military experience at all know that when you see something that is threatening to you, you're ready to go on the alert. And you stay on the alert until you identify what that is threatening you. Joshua stands, no doubt draws his sword, and starts towards the man and asks him the question. Joshua 5, starting verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, they lift up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Now, just a word of caution here. An adversary is someone who's against you. For whatever reason, it could be a major, major reason, or it could be just something that they've just got kind of a little grudge against you. But he becomes your adversary. And Joshua asked him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And this person answered him, and he said, no, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the ground and worshipped him and said, what does the Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for this place you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. That kind of reminds me of something that David had to say in Psalms chapter 40 and verse 4, and where David says that blessed be the man that makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor turn aside to even lies. Joshua is respectful of this person, and more respectful of when he finds out his standing before this person. I'd like for you to consider the fact that Joshua is a general of the Israelites. And here the general meets his superior, meets the commander. Now, in my time in the military, I too have, and I was not a general, by the way. I had to work for a living. The time that I spent in the military, I knew that when my commander came along, it was my job to render him proper respect. Perhaps stand at attention if we were outside just to salute him and speak good morning. And Joshua goes a step further and says, Lord, what does my commander have to say to me? And here the general of the Israelites asking this specific question, this is both fitting and proper. As the servant approaches his master, he does so with respect, not with "What do you want now?" But Joshua asked him, "What does my commander say to me?" And I hope that you can see the picture here. Here is Joshua, the general of the Israelites. And here is the commander of the Lord's army. Can you see the difference in the ranking right away? One of them is a general, one of them is the commander over everything, the master over everything. And then it's only fitting and proper that Joshua asks this figure standing there, "What would you have me to do? What does my Lord ask of my servant, or ask of his servant to do?" Now, from these three verses, we can draw a number of conclusions for our lives today. Even though this exchange took place between the Lord and Joshua some 1,450 years before Jesus Christ appeared in the flesh, incarnate. And before we get too deep into this lesson, there's something I want to tell you. That there are several different conclusions of who this man was that Joshua saw standing there with his sword drawn. Now, some conclude that this is an angel sent from God to prepare Joshua to start occupying the land of Canaan. But let me tell you this, folks. I don't believe that that analysis stands up, for the simple reason Joshua fell at this man's feet and worshiped him. And never did an angel allow anyone to worship him willingly in all of Scripture. Some also conclude that this is a pre-incarnate. Oh, I love these big words. Use them as often as I can. Some believe that this was the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Long before it was said, "And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law." Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And this man allowed Joshua to worship him and to call him my Lord. And his Lord did not correct him a little bit, but proceeds to instruct him in something very, very simple. "Take your sandals off your feet, for you stand as holy." Well, Joshua then proceeds to do exactly what the Lord is asking him to do. And I want you to know that as in this second group, that I feel more comfortable than I do in the first group. It is my belief, and you can disagree with it if you want to be wrong, the second group is the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. For several different reasons. He allowed Joshua to worship him. He allowed himself to be called Lord. Joshua recognized himself as a servant. And so I have to conclude that this was Jesus Christ. As we examine these real closely, we find that, yeah, I know, this is part of the Old Testament, and we're the New Testament church. But it is also part of God's Word, and it deserves our attention, because Paul wrote to the Romans and said, "For whatever things that were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we might, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. Joshua listens to what his commander has to say. He recognizes his position before the Lord as servant. And he's ready and willing to listen very, very carefully. And folks, one of the things that we can learn from this is obedience to God will lead us to his goals and continue his grace and blessings upon us when that obedience is truly from the heart and done willingly. Oh, I know that we can, go through the motions and maybe salve our own conscience a little bit. But it's not long until that salve wears off and your conscience starts eating at you again. A fellow by the name of Dr. Charles Stanley, a well-known and respected preacher who used to be on radio and was on television for a long time, once made this statement: fight all your battles on your knees. In other words, servant, on your knees before God, waiting for his instructions, not bowing and making demands. Lord, tell me what you want me to do. Rather, in a meek, solemn tone, Lord, what would you have your servant to do? And folks, this is what we can do today. And most of us still have knees that work. Some don't. But we all can do exactly what Joshua is doing here. Appear before our commander, asking him, Lord, what would you have me to do? And perhaps it would be even better to go into your closet, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Close the door. And this keeps distractions at a very, very minimum. You're not as likely to be interrupted and have your train of thought cause it to jump the tracks. What we're being told is simply this: get away from all the distractions. Close the door as to close out those distractions around you. And then pour out your soul before God. And Jesus continues to tell us that he who hears in secret will reward in public. And this seems to be the thing that Joshua would have us to do, and Jesus would also have us to do. A servant before his master. Now, all of us, starting from right over here, all the way around to right over here, elders, deacons, members, teachers, preachers, pew sitters, even casual attendees, must be fully aware of our status, a servant of the Most High God. We are servants. Now, in these few verses, Jesus will present himself as a soldier and commander of God's army. Now, I'm reasonably sure that none of us here will ever attain the rank of general. But we can all attain servanthood. Now, I'm not talking about doing some great and wondrous thing, you know, like writing a new expository commentary or starting to hold mission crusades or something like that. I'm talking about just simple serving one another. And Jesus alluded to this when he said, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another. Now, I know that my wife Elizabeth loves me because when she is able to do so, She serves me. She'll see me sitting there reading very deeply into something, and one of two things. She'll either leave me alone, or she'll bring me a cup of coffee. And that's servanthood. Every one of us can achieve that rank of servanthood. It may be just a simple telephone call. It may be a card or a letter or a visit. And we can all do that. I dare say there's not a person in this room that cannot talk. Oh, you may not be eloquent as some profess to be, but we can all talk. And why not talk to our friends? Why not talk to our neighbors? Why not talk to the family members around us who are not members of the body of Christ with the desire of leading them to also adapt servanthood by becoming a member of his body, by serving him through obedience to him. The writer of Hebrews had this to say, "For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things are, all things in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering." Our Lord was made perfect through suffering, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. The Lord is not calling us to suffer every day, but he is calling us to be willing to suffer. Be willing to sacrifice this thing called time on behalf of someone else. Because Jesus very clearly said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And so, everyone here is capable of at least following that kind of command, and allow your love for others to lead you to simple acts of kindness, and you're serving your master. The statement regarding the removing his sandal, to which Joshua readily obeyed, showed that he had deep reverence and love for the Lord. And when we have a sincere love for someone, I know many of us have said, "I just worship the ground he or she walks on." Well, Jesus is not exactly asking us to worship the ground that we walk on, or someone else walks on. But he does instruct us through Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1, "Walk prudently when you come to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give in the sacrifice of fools, for they don't know what they're doing." In other words, come to listen. Come to participate. Now, I know that singing is a difficult part for some of us. Me, it sounds like one stomach pump calling its mate. But I can make a joyful noise to the Lord. And everyone here can make a joyful noise. I know, because I've heard enough noises being made, that we can do that. Now, God had instructed Moses way, way back in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5. "Do not draw near this place. Take the sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Many of you are familiar with the idea that Moses was out tending sheep of his father-in-law, and he sees this burning bush over there. "Well, that looks interesting. I think I'll go have me a look at that." And I dare say that every one of us here would have done exactly the same thing. After all, those sheep are out in a desert place, and where are they going to run to? This is going to be more desert. And I'm not going to be gone very long. I'm going to go see about that bush. And when he has traveled the appropriate distance, when God says, you know, that's far enough, he says, "Do not draw near this place, Take the sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. From that statement and the example that we have in Joshua, I can conclude that God expects us to draw near to Him in all holiness. Just as He was ready to give Moses instructions regarding the lead of His people out of Egyptian captivity to the Promised Land, which had been promised to his forefather some 450 years beforehand, God is ready, willing, and able to give us as servants commandments for us to obey. And He gives us enough in this book to, I guarantee you, Bob, it'll keep you busy the entire lifetime. God don't want us just to be busy. I can be busy just popping a little whip like that, or singing around, or singing a country and western song. Yeah, I like country and western. But He expects us to be ready, willing, and in reverence for Him and His Word, to go about the errands that we find in His Word for us to go about doing, such as love one another. And by this the world will know that you are My disciples. Another lesson, another lesson to learn from these verses in Joshua 5 is always, and I mean always, be acutely aware of your surroundings, both in physical life and in spiritual life. Especially in spiritual life, because our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we're also told that if we resist him, get away from me, stay away from me, Satan, I have no part of you, that he will flee from us. Now, I would like to encourage all of you to study these verses in Joshua very quietly in your own home and try to draw from them as many applications as you possibly can draw. And I'm not talking about, now, boy, this would be good for old Danny to know. I mean, he could really profit from this. But rather, turn that hand around and say, this is something really profitable for me to know. And folks, I don't know about you, but I want to know all I can know about the words that are going to judge me in the last days. And we're told in John chapter 6 that the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last days. And how can you expect to live the way the Lord wants you to live and you don't even know the way that His Word teaches you? Folks, this attending worship is much more serious than just coming here and singing a few songs, smiling at each other, taking a little bit of bread and a little bit of grape juice, put a few bucks in a box and send it on its way. There's more to it than that. Our hearts have to be opened to listen. Listen carefully to God's Word. Taking in the things that are said. I'm not talking about listening intently to the person preaching. Yeah, most of us would like to have people listen to us. But I'm talking about the Word of God, listening very carefully and not give the sacrifice of fools. Because we do know what we're doing. At least we're supposed to. Now, I mentioned in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, God told Moses exactly the same thing that the commander of the Lord of hosts says to Joshua. Take the sandals off your feet, for this place is holy. And God expects us to draw near to Him, not just when we come together in these four sections of seats right here, where it's quiet, it's peaceful, we don't have any problems with us, we don't have any problems with the person next to us. He expects us to appear before Him regularly in reverential awe and genuine love. I'd like to encourage you, as I already have, to read Joshua chapter 5 very, very quietly in your own home and listen to the ideas that he has for us. And I think that you'll benefit tremendously from those. And one of the things that, and I've mentioned it before, God expects us, and perhaps we can be reinforced in this expectation by reading Joshua 5 again. God expects us to hold him in reverential awe and great love, ready to obey his commandments as we become aware of those commandments and how they fit to us. Now, if you promise that you will not tell Steve that I only preached about 15 to 18 minutes, I'll quit here pretty quick. But if you don't make that promise, I'm just apt to turn these notes over and find the other side and keep right on going. If you've not yet offered yourself as one willing to serve him as a servant, folks, you can do that today. Believe that Jesus is in fact the Son of God. Repent of the ways you've lived your life in the last few years. Then be buried with him in baptism, reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then be raised to walk in a newness of life, just as Jesus walked in a newness of life. His blood then will continue to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We have fellowship with one another, fellowship with Jesus Christ, and fellowship with God through his Holy Spirit. That's a pretty good offer for those who are outside the body of Christ. I would like to encourage you this morning that everything is ready. You can do exactly what needs to be done, if you're willing to repent, before you ever leave this building. There's a group of people right here who would rejoice in seeing you baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. All things are ready. Come to the feast. We're going to sing a song, and during the singing of that song, I ask you to make your way to the front. Let's stand and sing.